Today, I'm Mindy McNeil, and yesterday, on Sunday, October 20th, Carolyn Joy of Joy Wine and Spirits hosted her annual charity chili cook-off. Now, each year, she looks for a charity that she just feels is very deserving of receiving proceeds from that chili cook-off. This year, she chose Same Cafe. And at first, I was like, she chose a cafe during a chili cook-off? I was really confused. But Same is so all may eat. And right now, I am joined by Brad and Letitia, and they are with Same Cafe.
I'm Brad Rubendale, and I'm the executive director of Same Cafe.
Okay, and then Letitia?
I'm Letitia Steele, and I am the operations officer and chef for Same Cafe.
Okay, now, and we're going to talk about chef, because I was looking at some of your creations or your options for food, and I'm like, this is amazing. So actually, I think I'm going to just go here with you first,
because okay.
If you ever go to a party, you always know people are always in the kitchen or they're in the dining room. That's what they always want to hang out, because food brings people together. And so, I mean, you had some amazing dishes that were on your menu, because it looks like it switches every day. And mm-hmm. I was looking, there was like a garlic type of soup, garlic chicken or something type of soup the other day, which I didn't see you bringing any, so I'll have to let that go. but it looked like you had two different types of pizzas, and one had a meat option, and one was like vegan, vegetarian. So let's just start from there. Like, you've got all these great dishes. It seems like they change daily. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's going through your mind? Because I'm like, that's a lot of work.
Well, I've been cooking for about 30 years. I've lived from the Appalachian Mountains to Maui, and I've just really been influenced by all of the flavors from the different regions that I've lived in. And even living in Colorado, we have so much diversity in kind of like old Denver, all of the mm-hmm. original neighborhoods
yes.
that were here. And with our menu, I really like to honor those neighborhoods. With the ever-changing menu that's in the cafe, we get in so much beautiful produce from all of our farms that support us. And so with the ever-changing menu, it's kind of like playing Iron Chef every day. You never know what you're going to get in. So right now we're getting in a ton of winter squash, or we'll get a lot of beautiful organic garlic donated from our farms, speaking about the soup that you had. So we like to really showcase those items every day. And as far as the vegan options and things like that, we have a very diverse group of folks that come and dine at the cafe, so we want to make sure that we have options available for folks who are gluten-free, dairy-free, vegan, whatever allergy that they might be experiencing. We want to be able to accommodate that.
Okay, and Brad, just if you could fill me in just a little bit as well, because I mean, you know, you've got Letitia here, she's got these great foods going, and I'm looking and I'm like, okay, so all may eat, so you're basing it on people's ability to pay, but I mean, we're not looking at like burgers and fries. Nothing against burgers and fries,
correct.
You know, but I mean, this is some gourmet stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And how is this to help the homeless? Because I know people actually come in and volunteer as well for, you know, they can trade food for volunteerism.
Yes.
Is that correct? So
mm-hmm.
could you explain
yeah.
a little bit more?
So SAME, of course, stands for So All May Eat, as you said. And we're the longest running nonprofit restaurant in the country, actually. So we were started 13 years ago by a couple who had worked in soup kitchens and food pantries. And they realized that there were a couple of big issues. One was that there was a feeling of a lack of dignity in some of those places. And that's a big deal, because we want to be able to feed everyone who is food insecure, we love that people experiencing homelessness are getting fed there, but we want to have a place that feels dignified for everyone who walks in, and then also to focus on healthy food. So it started with this pay what you can model, and everyone thought they were crazy. They thought it would last for maybe 6 months, and that's been 13 years ago. Myself and Tisha took over a couple of years ago from the founders, and we thought we can grow this. Tisha has all of her experience in the kitchen, and I am a fundraiser and have run nonprofits for years. And so between the two of us, we run on donations of time and money and produce. So we allow people to donate a little bit of time or a lot of time, a little bit of money or a lot of money, or a little bit of produce or a lot of produce. And with that model, we have some folks that are giving us, you know, 30 minutes in exchange for their meal. We have some folks that come in and give us $2 for their meal. A lot of folks that give us $2 for their meal, actually. And then we also have donors that come in and give us $5,000 for their meal. And so everyone in between. And it works really well, because I love being able to make sure that our mission is sustainable through funding, so that we never have to try to get more money out of our guests. We can let the guests truly pay what they can. in exchange for their meal. And it needs to be gourmet, world-class food, which is where Tish's amazing food comes into play.
Yeah, because I was looking at the menu and I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, and like I said, it was just every single day, just something different. And so I'm like, this is amazing.
She's ruined me for going out to eat anywhere else. I go pay for a lot of food somewhere else and it's nowhere near as good as what I had for lunch at same cafe.
And the thing is, it's funny, is because yesterday was, you know, the charity chili cook-off, which was Sunday, October 20th. And then you all came into existence on October 20th of 2016. So we're going on 13 years
13th
here.
Birthday.
2006, yeah. We started in 2006.
Yeah.
So that's pretty amazing. And it was really cool. That was another really cool thing about getting to do the cook-off is that the cook-off landed on our 13th birthday. So, yeah.
Yeah. We're now a teenager.
Oh, there we go. There we go. But I think this is a great concept because I've never even heard of that before. And so basically, because I've been doing a series with the Denver Voice and I've been doing homelessness and different things like that. And I guess I just think, too, because, you know, and I'm not. I'm blanketing everybody, but I'm not blanketing everybody at the same time. But I think we're like, okay, well, let's just give the homeless, you know, bag of chips. They'll be okay.
Right.
Or just, here's this or here's that. But it doesn't really help with nourishment. Like the stomach can be
exactly.
full, but you're not nourished on a different level. And so getting the produce in and different things, I feel like mm-hmm. that takes us to a different level. Because once again, you know, we're talking about the farm to table concept. And could either one of you just elaborate just a little bit more on that? Because it does seem like very fresh, very farm, and very
yes.
real.
I'll let Tisha talk about the food. I want to talk a little bit about the nutrition piece
oh,
of
yes.
it, because the things associated with food insecurity are obesity and diabetes and those kinds of things. So it's not that you can't get food in our culture. Mm-hmm. It's just that the food that's available for not much money is also not very nutritious
yeah.
and is not going to feed your body, soul, spirit. So we want to be able to create an environment where everyone, regardless of their ability to pay, has access to a beautifully prepared, locally sourced, made from scratch meal that folks with means get access to anytime they want it.
And you know, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, Tisha, just real quick though, but I think about that because a friend of mine and I, we went to England a few months ago and we were just talking because there was, I always call them the bodegas because they were just like right next door to the hotel, but it was like, okay, you could get hummus and vegetables and it was cheaper there than eating, you know, the chips and the pretzels and everything else. But I feel like it's reverse here. I could
Correct.
Go and get my, love Cheetos, they're not the best for you, but you know, I can get my Cheetos and I can pay like $1 a bag, you know, but then if I want something good and healthy or even organic, it's costing me an arm and a leg. And I'm really confused by that, like why it costs more to eat healthy so that I can live longer and be more productive. So
it's because of mass production. When you're mass producing something, you can sell it for a little bit and make a profit, but you can't mass produce vegetables in the same way. They take time, and we say we're a slow food restaurant. It takes time to have the quality, and we're not a fast food restaurant. So it takes the time to grow the produce and then to turn it into an amazing meal like Tisha and her team does.
And then how do you come up with, I mean, because like I said, I was looking at some of the pizza recipes, I saw eggplant and, you know, and I know you're using the produce that's delivered, but the mind to come up with, you know, all these different options every single day.
Well, I think it goes back to number one, we don't ever want to waste anything. So if we're getting a surplus of something in, like when you go to a really nice restaurant, they'll put a nasturtium flower on a dish, but you never really see the nasturtium leaves. So we will take the leaves to this beautiful flower and make a really beautiful pesto out of it. The leaf will have a flavor of like a really nice daikon or radish, and there's no reason to just throw that part of it away or to throw the carrot tops away. You can use pretty much any part of a vegetable. And I really like to empower my team as well. I have such great folks that are cooking in the kitchen that bring their own incredible flavor profile. And I want them to honor their traditions, their cultures, things like that, so we can really learn from each other.
Okay, and you had said the word flour, so I'm going to jump into a totally different category.
That's fine.
Because when I was looking on your website, I'm like, what the heck? You make your own syrups for your sodas? And it was off of herbs and flowers. And
mm-hmm.
I'm like, what the heck? It just sounded really good. And so can you tell us just a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so I want to touch base on, for just a quick second, mm-hmm. the farms that we work with. So we partner with Denver Botanic Gardens here in Denver and in Chatfield, with Ecar Farms, with Monroe Farms, with Kiowa Family Farms, Ecar Farm, I think I just mentioned them, LA Family Farms in Palisade, and they give us so much beautiful produce, and especially with Denver Botanic, with the lavender that they grow, with all of the fresh herbs, we get so many in. And when we were launching the food truck this year, I wanted to have a really interesting beverage on the truck, and I thought about all of these herbs that we had and all of the flowers, so we just turned them into simple syrups so that we could make our own sodas on the truck. And wow. I just thought that that was a really cool thing to get to do with it, especially like if you go to a restaurant, they have really beautiful craft cocktails or mocktails, and it's cool to get to take that out to the public on the food truck to kind of go along with all of our grain bowls that we're doing on there.
Wow. Okay.
And I want to brag on Tisha and her team, because she is a phenomenal chef who has brought world-class flavors to Same Cafe. And one of the things that I love about it is now I go in on any given day, there's five people that cook there, and I don't know who cooked on a given day because it's all to the standards that Tisha has set. And so I think that speaks to not only her flavor profile and also her ability to let other people thrive under that same model. And so it's phenomenal. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And so, yeah, cause you mentioned the food truck, and I do want to talk about that. Going back to the soda though, how did you come up with that concept? Cause I think the other thing too, is when I hear of like homemade soda, cause honestly, when you drink soda, I just feel like it's just over saturated with sugar. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like it's probably not the case here. If you've got nice flowers and herbs that give it a nice strong flavor.
Well, going back to my Appalachian Mountain roots, I was raised in West Virginia. We would do little fermented drinks with herbs or flowers or something like that, and it would be something that you would drink if you were feeling sick or under the weather. Mm-hmm. We don't do the fermentation in the cafe, but I wanted to kind of play off my roots a little bit as well. So that's kind of where those herb sodas came into play.
Okay. Now, I could get this at the cafe. Can I also get this at the food truck? And we got to talk about the food truck because, I mean, you've got some grain bowls going on, organic vegetables. And why don't you tell me about a little bit about that as well?
I'm sorry. The sodas are just on the food truck. Okay. In the cafe, Titulia actually sponsors our tea program, and Pablo sponsors our coffee program. So we feature those in the cafe and then the herb sodas on the food truck. And then with the food truck menu, I really wanted that. It is more of a stagnant menu than in the cafe. It doesn't change every time you take it out. So we do a Latin bowl. That's more of like a Cuban influence bowl. We do a Korean bibimbap bowl. We do an urban goddess bowl, which is basically whatever fresh local produce we've gotten in that week, we want to focus it on being like a raw bowl. And then we also do a Thai curry bowl, our yellow Thai curry bowl. That is our most popular stew that we do in the cafe, and I wanted to make sure to have that available out in the community when we take the truck out.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, and I was going to say the mission of the food truck, we spend half of the time out in the community, kind of like a typical food truck, raising awareness and money ultimately for the mission of Same Cafe. But then half the time we spend it out there in the community feeding people who are in need. So we partner with local nonprofits or community organizations who are feeding people that are in need, and we are able to provide it at whatever they can afford to pay. And what I love about that, and I'll let Tisha tell a little bit about some of the amazing partnerships that she's built, but what I love about that is that many folks don't have access to a nice food truck if you're in poverty or living in certain communities. And so we've really been focusing on trying to get out there and to serve this delicious food to people who might not have access to it otherwise. Because the challenge is that if you've never tasted how you feel on a delicious vegetable-centric made from scratch meal, you may not realize how good it is. And you may not realize that that's what you want more than you want chips.
Oh, yeah.
But it gives us the chance to be an education program essentially without saying you should eat this, instead saying here's something delicious, try it and you're going to want more. And that's one of our big missions, is to make healthy food taste really good so people want to eat healthy food more.
And I like that, because I feel like too, I feel like your taste buds just come alive. And then after a while, you know, because I'm switching to, you know, Carolyn and I have talked about this a lot, just getting away from meat, you know, but finding these other great options. And I'm like, if there's good flavor, and I'm not knocking people who eat meat, trust me, I've done it. Mm-hmm. I love it. But the thing is that I'm a flavor person. And I feel like, you know, after a while, like, okay, love Oreos, but like when I've gone without eating them and I've been exposed to other foods, when I go back, I'm like, oh, this tastes kind of waxy. You know, I love the filling. I was always about the filling,
yes.
You know, in the Oreos, but it tastes waxy. It just has a different taste. And I feel like the more you get your taste buds, just my opinion, but I feel like the more you get your taste buds exposed to different flavors and different foods and things like that, you kind of can, you know, drift away from the things that are not bringing you nutritional value.
Exactly. Okay. We have some people experiencing homelessness at same cafe that have some elevated palates like you wouldn't mm-hmm. believe. And it's amazing because it's not like you lose your taste buds whenever you are experiencing hardship.
Wow. And okay, so the food truck, it was introduced at the gala this past March, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, but I think, I know you guys had the gala this past March. Is there another one coming up in 2020?
Yes, March 19th of 2020.
Okay, here we go. Okay, because that was the one from last year. Okay,
yeah.
19. So
when I started, I was like, how do we raise more money to be able to feed more people? And I don't want to do the dry chicken dinner that a typical nonprofit does. So we decided to do this chef-driven event where we get chefs from around the city to present flavors from their restaurant and alcohol providers to provide tastes as well. So then all we do is provide the space, and we have a community-based kind of thing. So you can volunteer in exchange for a ticket, and you can donate what you can for a ticket, of course, because we're same cafe.
Yeah.
And that way we actually have people at our gala that are representative of everyone that is at same cafe. And I love that because a lot of our guests at same cafe don't get the chance to go to nice events like that very often. And so we give people the opportunity to come and experience a nice evening while we're also raising money for same cafe.
Nice. Now the food truck there was two missions. So you all introduced the food truck at the gala, two missions. One was to bring healthy food to food deserts and partner with food organizations. Mm-hmm. And then to educate people about hunger, food, and justice through community presence. The word justice here, I'd like to elaborate a little bit about that, the justice through community presence. Could you guys explain that?
Yeah. I mean, food insecurity is such a big issue because it's one of those things that you don't think about. Food is the first thing you stop paying for when you run out of money. Mm-hmm. So if someone loses a job or a partner or their rent goes up, tomorrow they can eat on less. And when you're eating on less, the options for you are usually junk food. And so we want to be able to provide options for people because choice is one of those privileges that comes with money usually. And we want to give people the option of being able to choose healthy food. We're not saying you have to eat it, but we want to give that option. And so food insecurity is actually a much bigger issue than just those experiencing homelessness and extreme poverty. It's really, there are people who are food insecure that you would never imagine because they have the trappings of a job or of wealth, but then they lose a job or they lose a partner or they go through a divorce or something. And then suddenly they're eating on $2 or $3 a day. And we want to give a dignified option for everyone across the socioeconomic spectrum. And that's where justice enters into it. So having the food truck into those communities that don't necessarily have access to healthy food, we can bring another flavor profile into a community that might not have access to that otherwise.
And so I'd like to touch on our partnerships a little bit. With the food truck, because part of it is going and doing like catering events and events where people can give a little bit more for us to be there. But the other half is that we partner with Denver Human Services. So we are at the Castro Building on Fridays. And a big part of that partnership is that they realize that folks that are coming in and waiting all day to get services or waiting to see if they get approved for SNAP benefits. Oftentimes they're there with their kids, especially kids that aren't in school yet, and there are no healthy options for them to eat when they're out there. They can get food from a vending machine, or they just don't get food at all. And so this year when the food truck launched, they wanted to have our food truck out there so that the folks that are waiting in line, or if they're stuck kind of like in the system all day long, that they can just go out into the parking lot and get a really great, healthy, delicious meal with whatever they can afford to donate for the meal. With that partnership, we also joined forces with Denver Botanic Gardens, the Chatfield location. They have a farm stand out at Denver Human Services on Fridays, and folks can get double SNAP benefits while they're out there. And it's the most beautiful, amazing, local organic produce that you can find, and you get this great perk of getting to get double. So it's just kind of a win-win. I like to call it the all-inclusive farmer's market. Like you get the great atmosphere with all the great vegetables, with the food truck, and you get to create community with the folks that are out there. So yeah, I really love that. We also partner with Mental Health Services of Denver. Bev Grant, that does Mobetta Greens, she does this amazing farmer's market out at 35th and Dahlia, and we joined forces with them this year to have our food truck out there for their farmer's market on Wednesday evenings.
And one of my favorite partnerships is with the Civic Center Eats program down in Civic Center Park. They do a food truck circle 3 days a week throughout the summer. And there's usually about 15 food trucks, but it's almost all people experiencing wealth or that have means that work in the community right there that come down and eat there. And then there's this very interesting disparity between people experiencing homelessness in that same park that are being fed bologna sandwiches over here in this other part of the park. So we wanted to help bridge that gap between the two. And so we got into it late in the season. Hopefully next year we'll have more opportunity there. But we got in late in the season and we decided with every bowl that we sell off the food truck, we will give a token to go give to someone experiencing homelessness
to give them
a free meal. And it's been really cool to watch that kind of bridge between the wealth and the folks that are experiencing hardship in that park.
Oh, this is, and okay, so this just screams to me why Carolyn chose you guys. This is an amazing, amazing service. And I know just a few minutes ago you were talking about a location where the food truck goes, but where is your location at, Tish, so that people want to come?
The brick and mortar location is at 2320 East Colfax. It's right between Race and Vine, right across the street from the infamous Lion's Lair.
Okay. All right. And then location you said 35th and Dahlia, but the food truck, does it just go around to different locations?
Mm-hmm.
In the
it
city?
Goes around to different locations, and those locations can be found on our website. There's a tab for the food truck.
And what is that website address?
SoAllMayEat.org.
Okay. And then a telephone number, or should people just go to the website?
The website's the easiest way because you can sign up to volunteer. You can sign up to give produce. You can look at the food truck. You can also see the daily menu. So that's really the place to go. And then there's a phone number on there if they want to call. But
yeah, because when I was on the website, there was also a link where people want to donate and do different things
yes.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I said, I was looking on the website. There's things, you know, opportunities to donate. But what about, you know, if I want to help or work or a job training, or what do you all do down there?
Yes. So this year, around the same time that we launched the food truck, we also launched a free culinary job training program. It's called Cook to Work. And it's a 100% free program. The first module of it, it's broken up into three modules. The first module, people can just walk in and kind of like if they're doing meal exchange, they can say, I would like to sign up for the job training program. And that will also kind of count as they're volunteering in exchange for their meal. Once they get past module one, which is just really basic culinary skills, basic health and safety, then they move into module two, where they start really learning how to cook, working on the grill, working on a line, learning how to bake. And then we get into module three, which is where they can start learning all of the soft skills, how to write a resume, how to interview, how to work with people from different populations. Oftentimes when you've been experiencing homelessness, you've probably been experiencing a lot of trauma as well. So sometimes that introduction into workforce can be a little difficult. So we like to give people the skills that they need to make that transition. And then we help them do job search. And we have some really great restaurants that we work with around the city where we can get people at least their foot in the door for an interview with these agencies.
And one of the things that I say about Same Cafe is that we don't require you to act in a certain way, but everything we do is an invitation to a better life. So you don't have to eat a lot of vegetables, but if you want seconds and thirds, you can get as much of that as you want. You don't have to join the community. You can kind of come and sit at one of our introvert tables around the edge, or you can join the community table. You don't have to join the job training program, but if you're experiencing hardship and you're volunteering already, while you're doing that, you can sign up for this. And that matters to us because moving people from chaos to stability is such a challenge. And there's some incredible culinary training programs in the city, and we love all of them. Many of them, though, require that you be there at 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday or whatever. Ours begins with a lot of flexibility so that we can meet people where they're at and then hopefully grow them into the culinary world.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
great. Well, you know what, Letitia, Brad, thank you so much. If you are listening to this, you want to donate, if you want to stop by and eat, you want to find out where the mobile food truck is, please go online to soallmayeat.org. I will put a link on the website. And thank you all. Thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank
and best
you.
Of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.